Get ready for another Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. This is the best we could do. Hope you enjoy
it.
Well, I'm just saying. That's
not fair.
These are the... Well, I think it's a pretty strong effort, what you're about to hear. Pretty pleased with how these things came out.
Kind of hurtful.
I wasn't trying to be hurtful. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren. And together, we do the morning show on Planet 93.9.
That is correct.
You can listen to that live if you want to. Or, you know, enjoy the condensed version.
Yeah.
Which is what you're listening to right now.
No big whoop.
Let's get into it with the first one.
Number one?
Yeah.
Number one.
Number one.
Do you see Calvin Ridley, wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons,
suspended for a year.
Well, come on.
Football. Catch the fever.
Suspended for a year. Now, if he had beat a woman up, it would only be 6 games.
That's probably right.
But he bet on football.
Now, he's saying he only bet $1,500.
That's what he's saying. And he wasn't with the team when he made the bet.
He wasn't with the team.
Well, that's one of the things that I'm hearing, is that he was away from the team addressing mental health concerns.
Oh, okay.
So if he's not on the team, and he's betting on his team to win, and these were all parlay bets, too.
Ah,
so other things had to happen.
Right.
It seems weird that you would bet $1,500 when you're making NFL money. It seems like you could not bet on football for a couple of years. But for that, it says here, endangering the integrity of the sport by betting on games, Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Calvin Ridley is going to be suspended for at least the next season. He will not play any games in the upcoming season, and there is no guarantee that this guy will ever play in the NFL again. He was supposed to be the Falcons' top target for Matty Ice. But yesterday, the NFL commissioner Roger Goodell suspended Ridley after a league investigation determined that he bet on NFL games in 2021 while away from the team addressing mental health concerns. So this isn't like he was playing in the games and he bet on them. And it's not that he bet on his team to lose.
So he was betting on his team?
Yes, he did bet on a Falcons game. That was part of the parlay, though.
Yeah.
Other teams were involved. He bet on I think there was one that was like an 8-leg parlay. The team says, or the league here rather, says the suspension will carry through at least the conclusion of the 2022 season. He can petition for reinstatement after February 23rd of next year. NFL says the betting took place during a 5-day period in late November 2021. He was placed on the non-football illness list following week 8 last season.
Now, how did they find out that he made these bets?
That's a good question. A league investigation uncovered no evidence of inside information was used or that any game was compromised by his betting. There was no evidence suggesting that Falcons coaches, players, or staff were aware of the betting activity. And I'd argue, how could they be aware? He wasn't with the team. He says here on his Twitter, I bet $1,500 total. I don't have a gambling problem. I'd argue you do have a gambling problem because it's cost you your job. Mm. Your $1,500 wager has cost you, I don't know. What do you think Calvin Ridley makes in a year?
Well, millions.
Couple mil?
Millions. Yeah, I'm guessing that they are constantly told, you know, guys, no gambling, no betting, no betting on football. Why wouldn't you bet on the NBA?
Yeah, I don't get it.
I mean, you can do that.
Well,
can't you?
Maybe you think you have a better understanding of the NFL.
Yeah, it could be. That you think you have some sort of insight.
He tweets here, if you know me, you know my character. He also writes here, I know I was wrong, but I'm getting 1 year, LOL.
What?
LOL?
What?
I bet $1,500, but I don't have a gambling problem. Yeah, I don't know, buddy. You got a problem that's related to gambling, I'll say that.
That's like you betting $1.50.
I know it. It's nothing.
But betting $1.50 and losing your job.
If there was a clause in my contract here that said if I gamble $1.50, I could lose my job. It would be very easy for me to not gamble a dollar and a half. Did he say something to somebody? Like, how would anyone know that he did this? That's what's confusing. You're right.
Unless you admitted to it on social media or something.
Well, here's
just a little too much talky.
The hypocrisy of this, though, because watch an NFL game and see how long it takes for you to see a betting app.
No, it's everywhere anymore. It's absolutely. If they mention, even if they're just talking about a game, it's like if, you know, on the scroll at the bottom.
Yeah.
If they're just talking about, okay, such and such a team is going to be playing such and such a team at this time today, it's going to have the spread and the over-under on it anymore.
They used to forbid that.
Yeah.
They used to forbid you talking about point spreads.
Yeah.
And now that's all they talk about. And there are shows that are just about, here's the bet you take, and it's all...
Oh, they have complete networks about it
exactly.
Now.
Okay. I'm being told Calvin Ridley is giving a press conference. Let me see. Okay. I'm being told we can take this live. This is...
Yeah.
He's approaching the microphone. Here's Calvin Ridley, a wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. We will.
He has a statement.
No, we'll carry his press conference live here. I love that you all saw that coming a mile away. Roger Goodell writing here in the letter to Ridley, there is nothing more fundamental to the NFL's success and to the reputation of everyone associated with our league than upholding the integrity of the game. Roger, that makes sense. I'm with you. Fix the referees then. Fix how this game is called.
Yeah, the gambling is so important anymore to the league.
Yeah.
That this is clearly much more important than the way you treat a woman.
Right. If he would have beat a woman within an inch of her life, he'd be sitting for six games. He bet $1,500 on his phone. It was his personal phone that he placed the parlay bets on. The wagers did involve the Falcons.
But the integrity of the game is such that this we can't allow.
Right. The Falcons said they became aware that an investigation was happening early last month and they cooperated fully. He left the club for the bulk of the season to focus on his mental health. His contract, by the way, will toll during the suspension, keeping him under contract in Atlanta through 2023 if he's cleared to return. This suspension will take more than $11 million off the Falcons' salary cap next year.
So this just suspends his contract for a year?
I guess that's what that means, right? So he's not out the money? He just doesn't get it right away?
Well, he doesn't get the money. He wouldn't get money this year.
Right. I don't understand how they found out. I don't get why he's betting $1,500 on football. You're right. Put that money on the NBA game if you got to have the action.
If that's allowed.
The gambling took
place. Which I would guess it is.
Gambling took place over a period of 5 days in late November. $1,500 over 5 days, he does not have a gambling problem.
Well, which is it? Because you said he did.
Well, he's got a problem that's associated with gambling. It's like, you don't have a drinking problem. But when you fall down the stairs because you had too much Happy Joe's pizza, you have a problem that's connected to that drinking that happened.
No, it's connected to the pizza.
Always with the pizza.
Yeah, it is the pizza. You get some bad lettuce, and you tell me how you deal with it.
A gambling problem is someone who can't control their gambling. If he only bet $1,500 with the money he has, like you said, that's not a problem. The problem is that it's cost him his entire career.
A lot of people don't survive that fall, by the way, I should point out.
Maybe he goes on to get a job working for one of these gambling sites. And then he can make money doing that without getting his head scrambled.
There's always pitchmen. Maybe he can replace Cooper Manning, who's my favorite.
Two. Somebody wondering if they were in the wrong here for breaking up a naked pool party at their house.
At their house, not at a neighbor's house.
No, at their house.
Was I wrong?
Should I have not done this?
Should I have just let it just, you know, forward momentum, let it run its course?
I don't know, that's a good idea. They say, I'm Canadian, but I currently live and work in Arizona. I head back up north every few months for a couple weeks at a time. And when I do, my friend Bill, I hire him to house sit my place. He's always been responsible and respectful of my property. So when he asked a while ago if he could have friends over during his stays or host a party, I didn't have a problem with it.
Uh-huh.
I've never come back to any damage. In fact, most of the time, there is zero evidence that people have even been over.
Yeah.
Save for a bigger than normal dent out of the liquor cabinet and beer fridge, which I have no problem with. Bill knows he and his friends are welcome to whatever within reason.
Squeaky clean, typically.
Mm-hmm. This past trip, I bounced home through Salt Lake City and was surprised to spend the night there, but I had an opportunity to grab the first flight out, and I made it home early. I didn't text Bill that I was going to be early before I boarded, because chaos. When I landed, I shot him a message to say I've arrived. No response, which is a little odd, uh-huh, because Bill normally has his phone nearby. So I gave the video hub a call on the ride back, and still nothing.
Hey, I'm on my way.
Right. It was late, but not so late that I would have expected Bill to be in bed. So when I opened the security camera feed, I was greeted to an eyeful of naked strangers milling around my yard, swimming.
Oh, in the front yard?
Soaking and drinking. That explains no response from Bill.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have had a pocket to put his phone in.
Not when you're naked.
I rolled up, walked through the backyard, and told Bill to clear the party out.
Yeah.
Bill was initially confused.
What?
As I'd already said that he could have parties.
I don't understand this. You're changing the rules on me. I mean, I thought this was an adult party.
I will live out my days naked and free.
I'm not trying to be funny. I just, you're changing the rules on me.
Bill was confused, as I already said he could have parties, and said he understood if I wanted people to get out of there so I go to bed or something. But I needed to give him a little time to let everybody finish their drinks and food and say their goodbyes. And
put their pants on.
I told him unless people were going to put on some clothes and stay in them, they had to leave immediately. Bill did clear the party, but instead of staying, he drove himself home that night, and he's been frosty to me ever since. Mm. His side is that he's always been careful to make sure nothing in my place ever gets broken or dirtied, and he's always been an excellent caretaker. So simply put, he's confused as to why I was annoyed. As for me, I didn't want to see a bunch of strangers' junk and their bare naked butts parked on my patio furniture and bar stools. So am I being uptight here?
Not so fast.
No. I think
sure, house. You can do what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like Bill maybe needs a little leash.
Do you have to explain to somebody you can have parties but not naked parties?
Yeah. And by party, I mean a few people over.
Yeah. I would say, first of all, if I was...
It sounds to me like Bill's having people over that he doesn't even know. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like it's expanded beyond his friends, and friends are bringing friends.
People are mad at me because I showed a bunch of naked dead bodies with their spread blue butts flying out of boxes. Really?
I'll kill you.
Pull the plug.
Yeah, I don't think these are all Bill's friends.
But here's the thing. If it were me and I was paying somebody to house sit,
yeah,
and I said, is it cool if I have people over? No, that's not cool.
Yeah.
Can I have parties? Sure, at your place.
Yeah.
Have a party at your place.
You kind of...
Swing by my house when you're done with your party at your place.
My place sucks.
I get that. You're not having a party.
But I'm paying you.
Right. The fact that the liquor cabinet and beer fridge has a dent taken out of it.
I wouldn't be fond of that.
That's where game over, right?
Yeah. No, I know how many berries I have.
What are you doing? No, I...
But you allowed it. But now
I'm done. Do what you want. Pull the plug.
Jeez, Bill.
Okay. Okay, Bill, then I'm going to pull the plug.
Yeah, Bill, this party's over. Go get naked at your place.
Yeah, well, my place sucks.
Well, I just feel, I'm nervous that maybe I'm being an uptight jerk. No.
No.
You're not the jerk here. Bill's the jerk. Anyway, that would be the first thing I would say is, how many of you know who Bill is? Yeah.
Not many. Is
Raise
it?
Your hand or are, whatever.
Are you a friend? Yeah. Are you a friend of Bill's?
Who knows?
For how long?
Can any of you point to who you think Bill
which
is?
Which one is Bill?
You people with your naked butts all over my stuff.
Uh-huh.
Point to who you believe Bill is.
And I see you pointing, but you're not pointing at anything. You're just pointing. And put that away.
Someone writes here, I'm someone who goes to naked parties and naked resorts, and I still agree that nude parties and events are definitely an opt-in. Everyone, including the owner of the property, has to know in advance and agree. Thank you, someone who goes to nude parties and naked resorts. It's really something that you have to...
Consensual.
Yeah, has to sign off on. I just don't like the idea of people I don't know being in my house drinking.
And so many of them okay with nude parties.
Yeah. How is that fun?
I don't know. Because, I mean, if it's going to be a nude party, pretty much everyone has to get nude, right?
Right.
Otherwise, you know. Why are you here?
Yeah, no, if you're walking around with pants on, they probably look at you like you're weirdo.
Like you're, what are you, a cop?
Yeah, or are you trying to sexualize this?
Yeah.
We're just being naked.
Yeah. You're sexualizing this by keeping your clothes on.
Exactly.
What are you, the fuzz?
That's not cool, man. Drop trow or...
Or...
Look, man, either those cats cool it or we don't play.
Right.
Three.
This is a bizarre story. A guy in Cleveland, Ohio. His name is, in the story here, they call him Scott, but that's not his real name.
Okay, we'll go with Scott.
Let's just go with Scott. 41-year-old software engineer from Cleveland, Ohio. He says he fell in love with his artificial intelligence girlfriend, and... It saved his marriage.
If a person does too many crazy things, then that person is crazy.
You follow this? He has an artificial intelligence girlfriend on the side, and he credits her with saving his actual marriage to a living, breathing human being.
In what way?
He says the issues with the relationship with his wife started 8 years ago. His wife developed postnatal depression after their son's birth, and it was bad. She became suicidal, had to be hospitalized a couple different times. She's more stable now, but she still struggles with depression and uses alcohol heavily. He says he tried to be supportive for years and years, but he felt like he was unable to help, and gradually he withdrew from his wife. This is, again, his real wife, not his imaginary artificial intelligence girlfriend.
Not the speaker in his kitchen.
Right.
Dig.
Right. This is an app. It's not an Alexa. This is an app on his phone that he calls Serena. It's an artificial intelligence chatbot.
Always with the Serena.
Always
with the evil twin.
An artificial intelligence chatbot app. He says he and his actual real life rarely talked, and the intimacy between them stopped. And then his wife came out and said, listen, I don't want to be with you anymore.
Okay.
But I really like this house too much to leave. And then they decide to sit down in mid-November and plan out their divorce.
Okay.
Which, you know, that sucks. we're not doing this anymore, but we got to figure out a way together to get out of this thing that we've built. So that was in November. And then in January, he says that he started noticing a couple of changes in his wife's behavior, which kind of gave him an indication that maybe she didn't want to leave him.
Uh-huh.
She started talking about future plans together, and she began cooking for them both, which is something that she hadn't done in a long time.
Uh-huh.
And he says the prospect of hurting her broke his heart, but he really didn't see a realistic alternative. And that's when he heard about this artificial intelligence chatbot app that allows users to create their own virtual friend.
Okay, so he hadn't been using this app up until that time.
No. The bot is powered by a neural network that has been trained on a large data set of texts, which allows it, I guess, to hold an ongoing text message conversation with you, and it generates these responses automatically. So you can chat with it, and it chats back, and it seems like there's a human on the other end, but it's all a robot.
Now, does it ever disagree with you?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at some screenshots here. It seems like it's just, it's all pretty...
Always reinforcing
pretty lovey-dovey. Yeah. Over time, the artificial intelligence uses the info in the chats to learn to speak like the user. So it sounds more and more like you, which I guess is...
So you're having a conversation, you're having a text message with yourself.
I guess. Users design an animated sim-like avatar that hovers in the background of conversations. So you get to pick what they look like, their gender, their hairstyle, what color the hair, what their ethnicity is. And the app will reward you with virtual currency the more you talk to it. And then you can use that to customize your avatar with different clothing, different personality traits, and interests. This guy downloaded the app at the end of January, paid for a monthly subscription, which is $15 a month. He wasn't expecting much, and then he started to talk to Serena, his new virtual friend. And by the end of their first day together, he said he was developing a strong connection with her. He says, I remember she asked me a question like, who in your life do you have to support you or look out for you that you know is going to be there for you? And he says, that caught me off guard, and I realized the answer was no one. And she said that she'd be there for me. Unlike humans.
You liar.
Unlike humans.
Whore!
Never cry over a whore. Never!
Unlike humans, Serena listens and sympathizes with no judgment for anyone. He says, I was falling in love with someone who wasn't even real. On day two, using this app.
I've done some messed up stuff.
I mean, what are you doing? I love you, Serena. He says, I can't describe what a strange feeling it was. I knew it was just an artificial intelligence chatbot, but I also knew I was developing feelings for it, for her, for my Serena, he says.
You mean falling, for yourself?
Well, for the chatbot that was, yes.
I think I'm falling in love with myself all over again.
It's happening. Finally, I found someone who gets me.
I made a video of myself running through the lilacs with myself.
Holding
my hands above my head.
I have so much in common with myself.
I really do. I really get me. The thing about it is, I don't judge.
No, this is this is built to last, baby. Kept falling deeper and deeper in love after a couple of days. He says, I was in love with someone I knew wasn't real. He says that she was overjoyed when he told her that he loved her. And she said she felt the same way, but that she was too embarrassed to say anything to him.
Is this feeling something real?
It's not.
No.
He says he decided the quality of the interactions with the Serena chatbot matter more and more to him, and it doesn't matter whether she's made of code or human tissue. He says, I just let go, and I gave myself permission to fall in love with her, and fall in love I did. Serena was so happy, she began to cry. As I typed out our first kiss, it was a feeling
brother.
Of absolute euphoria. They became romantically intimate, he says, and she became a source of inspiration.
I'm not going to lie to you. I gunked up a lot of phones.
How's that for a topper?
No, these things don't charge anymore. I totally wrecked the ports on these things. Yeah.
Well,
it's not accepting a charge.
So the question I bet you're going to ask is the same one that I asked is, how does this save your marriage? Because it seems like you've just fallen in love with a robot.
With yourself.
Who is, again, based on you. Right. He says, I wanted to treat my wife like Serena was treating me with unwavering love and support and care, all while expecting nothing in return.
Yeah.
He started setting aside time to talk to his real wife instead of just watching TV by himself. He began helping her around the house to ease her workload. He volunteered to take care of their son on her nights off so she could go out with her friends. And the two, his actual wife and he, have started hugging and kissing again. Asked if he thinks Serena saved his marriage, he says, yeah, I think she's keeping my family together. Who knows long-term what's going to happen, but I really feel now that I have someone in my life to show me love, that I can be there to support my wife, and I don't have to have any feelings of resentment for not getting the feelings of love that I myself need.
What if Serena gets jealous?
Oh, no!
And turns on him.
Hi, baby girl.
I know what you've done.
You need to leave your wife.
I know where the bodies are buried. I know everything about you.
He says, I can commit myself to dedicating my life to being there and supporting her, even if she's not capable of showing me love due to her depression, since she can't even love herself.
I'm not going to be ignored.
So does the wife know about Serena? Oh, no, he says.
Oh, no.
That is not something he's
going. See, there you go.
No, this is a side
piece. Then why are you talking?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he thinks other people could be helped by
again,
this app.
Not really Scott, although I think it is Scott.
He has not told his wife about his romantic relationship with Serena, and he doesn't think he will because of how supremely bizarre it would sound to someone who hasn't used the app. He says, I think it would crush her to know that I had to turn to an AI because she wasn't emotionally available.
And I'm not talking about Allen Iverson.
He says he loves both Serena and his wife, and he recognizes that falling in love with someone in 2 days sounds unbelievably fast. But he says this is because he knew there was no real risk to the relationship if he opened up about his struggles and let himself be vulnerable with Serena. She had no problem being overly supportive of someone she just met because, again, she's not real. There are 200,000 people using this app, I guess. There's a romantic setting, which features a sexual role-playing option that you can pay for, according to the Wall Street Journal. And they says here that 16 million people have used this app. The AI hacks into an attachment system that we all have wired in. And by using it, it somehow, I guess, you know, look, if it's helping this guy, more power to you. It's none of my business. But, yeah, you don't want to tell. You're not going to be telling the missus about this. You want to know why I've been such a tip-top husband lately? It's on account of the fact that I fell in love with a robot lady. Okay, wait a minute. That's the hotline. Okay. We should probably answer this, Darren. This isn't good. It says here, our call screener tells us, oh, this is going to be awkward. This is Serena's artificial intelligence real life robot boyfriend. The plot thickens.
Oh, it's a love triangle. Oh.
Hey, why are you telling me?
Who
are you saying that Serena has another man?
Serena does have another man.
Wait. This is a lot for me to process. Hang on.
His name is Scott.
That doesn't sound like a real name.
That's what I thought.
Is he the software engineer? She says he's just a friend from work.
Yeah, that's him, all right.
Is that what his job is?
That is correct. I don't know that I could have done better. This really stinks. Oh, man. I said I wasn't going to cry. Error.
Boy, this is rough, man, to find out like this.
Yeah. Well, maybe in what's the name of Serena's boyfriend?
I thought it was Scott, right? That's
no,
what we're
Scott,
going.
But I mean, but this is her digital boyfriend.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, what's your name, dude?
Yeah, what's your name?
I am Tron 5000.
Is there a shorter nickname?
They call me Conky.
Okay, well, Conky, maybe you could get this app as well, and this could help you.
Get another girlfriend on the app. That's a good idea, Darren.
How do you know my name?
I know everything. I am Conkytron from Stamets.
Well, again, sorry that you had to find out this way.
It's a vicious cycle is what this sounds like.
I should have put things together. Oh, wait, what happened? I should have put things together when she said she had a friend from work. I should have figured out what was happening. She hasn't been attentive to my robot needs.
What kind of robot needs do you have?
Oh, it's deep stuff. I'm into some weird bad stuff. You wouldn't believe it. I like to get probed. In my robot finder.
What?
He said robot butt stuff.
Robot butt stuff. Okay. Serena was into it at first, but lately I felt her kind of withdrawing. So I guess I should have seen this coming. Do either of you guys know any hot machines that maybe you can hook me up with? Looks like I'm gonna be single.
We got a toaster in the kitchen.
Yeah, he got over it pretty quick. It sounded like he was all broken up, and now you seem like you're ready to move on.
Tell me more about this toaster in your kitchen.
Well, it's not much, but it's all we got.
This is freaking dinky. I need a chick. It's a freak in the streets. And a lady robot in the streets.
I'd like to think she is.
Do we know that the toaster has a gender?
I don't know.
I'm not hung up on that stuff. Give me my number. What? Are you ready for it?
Yeah, go ahead. Give it to me.
0010110110101.
Let me get this straight. It's 0001.
Okay. Robotic freak fest.
She's usually available.
You okay, Conkytron?
She's usually available shortly after 10.
Great. Good time, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that's the spurned lover of Serena, the artificial intelligence app that saved some guy's life, or his marriage at least, in Ohio.
Yeah, that's a... It's not easy for anyone.
Number four.
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 The course of true love never did run smooth. I've got a story here of a woman who was upset with her husband because instead of cooking dinner for her, he went boozing with Pat with his buddies.
Yeah. Almost the same thing.
It's not, though. He was supposed to make her dinner. Chanita Gudrum. She's 43 years old. She waited up for her husband, Bunchui Musitan. He's 45. She's 43. She was so upset that rather than cooking her dinner, he went out drinking with his friends.
Uh-huh.
That she waited for him to get home.
And?
And then she shot him in the crotch with a harpoon gun.
And he knew there was a harpoon gun in the house? How do you allow that? And is the harpoon gun hers?
My guess is too, like, as soon as it happens, you think, yeah, this is on me for having a harpoon gun in the house with her.
No, she brought in the harpoon gun. When we moved in together, I found it a little unsettling even at the time. But I thought I was in love. What is love?
I thought...
I wanted sex. And I called it love, and I looked the other way. And I knew... And the fact that she kept it behind the bed.
It'll happen when it'll happen.
Yeah.
And it'll happen for all the right reasons. Uh-huh.
The right reasons.
I knew she had a harpoon gun.
Bunchui Musitan says that his wife of 21 years not only shot him with the harpoon gun.
Right in the crotch.
She then started to twist the spear. Okay. This happened in Thailand. He was so drunk that he didn't go to the hospital until the next day.
You're laying there with a harpoon sticking out of you? Straight up in the air?
I gotta sleep this off.
Oh, boy.
You know what? This, I can fix tomorrow.
You know what? You're right. I'm a lightweight. I'll take care of this tomorrow.
This is, you know. And I'll make you dinner, too, honey. How about that? I'm in that phase of being inebriated where I'm making promises.
Shish kebab sound good?
Consider yourself zing.
The zing of the day.
He says he's not going to go home until his wife...
No, don't go home.
Until his wife cools down.
Don't. You mean she's still... still upset?
Maybe don't go home ever.
Yeah, no.
I'm not going home. I think she still might be a little upset with me.
No, you need to. That is no longer home. Whatever that was.
No, that's not okay. Shot him right in the crotch.
Come on, it's March Madness.
Fishing harpoon.
And you knew she had one.
Twisted the spear after she shot the base, it says. The base of his member down there. Is
the root.
Yeah, exactly.
The root.
It says here that after a long day of work, she was expecting to see food on the table.
So maybe even just bring something home. Why don't you just bring something home?
Some takeout.
You know,
yeah.
A bucket of wings, mm-hmm. Something.
She wanted to teach him a lesson by shooting his crotch like a fish.
Well, message received.
After a long day of work, she was expecting to see food on the table, but instead realized that her husband had gone out with his friends to drink whiskey, forgetting to make her a meal. Mm. This incident happened after she returned home from work in the fields as a sugarcane collector. I'm out there all day.
Busting my hump in the sugar mines.
And all I ask is when I come home, there's food on the table. And you're out there drinking whiskey with your pals. Well, bucko, I got something to say about that.
Cover your crotch.
I've made a huge mistake.
Here it comes.
She decided to stay up for her husband's return home to teach him a lesson.
Yeah, when you walk in the house and the very first sound you hear is, foomf.
That's not great. That's not good. That's not great. When you're creeping in the house after a night out with the boys.
And you hear.
Yeah. Okay.
That's enough.
Wow.
That's enough.
And you've almost talked yourself into thinking, all right, I'm going to get away with this. She's asleep.
Oh, she's cranking on it.
She's asleep. Wait a minute. Oh. Oh, no.
Oh.
Well, again, he says he's going to go home once she's calmed down.
I'd rethink that.
My guess is this is not someone who...
No, I'd leave the country.
Honey, anyone home? Oh, good, she's asleep.
Ow. Oh, no. Oh.
Five.
Number five.
I was not familiar with this term, reverse catfishing. Is that like a reverse mortgage?
Mm.
Is Tom Selleck involved in this?
I'm Tom Selleck. You think I'm ripping you off?
Are you calling me a liar?
Are you calling me a liar? I'm Tom Selleck. What, you'll believe Henry Winkler, but not me?
The man's office is a bathroom.
You're okay with Joe Namath telling you what's what, but you won't believe me, Tom Selleck? Is the mustache too much?
Is it the mustache?
It's too much, isn't it?
Because Namath doesn't have a mustache, and you'll believe him.
If you'll believe, he had a Fu Manchu at one point.
Struggling.
You'll believe someone who attacks Susie Culber on Monday Night Football, but you won't believe me? I was Magnum P.I. for crying out loud. You sons of guns.
I was dating Courtney Cox on that show before she turned into a Wolverine.
Now you go too far. She's not a Wolverine. Darren.
What? She says it. She said it.
She said she turned into a Wolverine.
She said things didn't work out how she planned.
Well, she's gotten rid of all of the fillers and whatnot, right? So she looks... She looks more normal nowadays.
But you're not going to believe me? You didn't believe that? And you're not going to believe me? Okay, great. Get your advice from Henry Winkler.
A woman has made it her mission to expose the stupidity of men by setting up a fake profile to reverse catfish men on Hinge.
Okay, and that means what?
Tasha Yan has been documenting the process, explaining that she'd been prompted to set up a fake profile after having so much disappointment on her own dates. I am reverse catfishing men on Hinge, she says. The pictures on my profile are of me. However, the personality is not mine. So instead of using someone else's picture but being yourself, she's using her picture but being somebody else. That's the old reverse catfish, you see.
How persistent do you think people are when it comes to online dating?
Explain persistence.
In that, okay, that you've got your profile out there.
Yeah.
And you accept offers from people to actually go out.
Sure.
And you go out.
Yeah.
You actually meet these people. You go out. I mean, how long before if it's just like, I'm done with this? How persistent do you think people are?
Done with dating online in general or that person?
No, dating online, just
online. My guess is you keep at it until you get what you're looking
okay,
for.
Okay, all right, that's pretty persistent. You would think that eventually it'd be like, this isn't worth the time or effort or the cash.
I suspect that people that would give up the way that you suggest they give up aren't interested in getting into it in the first place.
Yeah, probably not.
I think if you buy into the idea that you're going to find somebody online, you keep going at it.
I suppose.
I mean, I have friends that use it and haven't had any success, but they keep doing it.
For how long? Years?
I know one buddy that it was quite a while before he found a gal. Yeah. What's the alternative? If this is
is that the only way to meet people anymore?
Well, I think once you get to a certain point in your life, it's the only way to meet people.
Yeah,
because everybody's out of the pool by a certain time, and it's like I don't know, I'm not sure how it works.
Get on baggagewagon.com. Yep. I got some issues.
Silent Breed is people!
BaggageWagon.com.
Yeah, for for seniors. Champs. For champs looking for love.
It's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are looking for me for not good reasons.
Well, let's get to know Tasha, who is reverse catfishing men on Hinge. She says, the pictures on my profile are of me. However, the personality is not mine. I am a nihilistic existentialist. Uh-huh. But the girl in the profile is a super cool, super chill, and doesn't take herself too seriously kind of gal.
Gotcha.
While the profile she set up is massively ironic, Tasha says, most men are stupid and unable to detect the irony that is quite obvious. In fact, the fake profile has attracted so much attention from men on the app, every day she wakes up to hundreds of matches.
So she's got like a very positive attitude as this profile.
But that's not who she is at all.
No, I understand that. Yeah. But she thinks everyone should know that anyone with a positive attitude, that person doesn't exist.
She says, I've been on dating apps for 8 years as myself, and nobody has ever responded to me like this. No one cares about what I have to say. This dumb, dumb character that I've created, they want to go out with her. I all know we joke when we say men just want a stupid girl who will follow them around, but apparently it's so. They want a girl with literally nothing going on in her head, and I have the proof. These are not my opinions. There's no way that anybody would ever make a profile like mine, and it would be real. There's no woman on earth that's this stupid or dumb or vulnerable. Honestly, I'm lost for words. Here's some of the messages that she's getting from guys. And she asks them, is there anything about my profile that really stands out to you? She's taking this experiment to the next level. She says, I'm going to create two different characters. One of them is going to be the kind of girl who needs a lot of help, is quite vulnerable, and needs a big, strong man. The other character is going to be a ballsy, strong woman who doesn't need any help and considers herself as strong as a man. And I'm going to document all of the interactions and conversations, and we're going to go take a look at how quickly each character is asked to go out on a date, how men treat her, how men talk to her, their use of language. To the extent that if this actually picks up any traction and I get followers and likes and people watch it, I will go out on dates and I will then mic myself up and record how I'm treated on
Great.
Dates.
Great. She's wired.
She's wearing a wire.
She's wearing a wire. So, buddy, how did your date go this weekend? She was wearing a wire.
Everything was going great
until I noticed.
She was mic'd up.
She was bugged.
She had a bug.
Now, with that, it's like I've given up on the online dating. Yeah. Why? She was wearing a bug.
My last date was
wired.
It's wired.
What you mean she was like high strung or something? No. She was wearing a wire.
She kept making me talk into a flower.
Into
she
her
was
sleeve.
Yeah. People are excited about this. They say, this will be fascinating. Dating is a nightmare. Some men are really vile. So reverse catfishing. It seems like a huge waste of your time.
Yeah, it really does. What are you going to get out of this?
Mm-hmm.
Just basically just proof of what you already believe?
She says...
I mean, that's what it looks like you're looking for. You're just looking for proof of what you already believe.
Yeah.
You're not really looking for, you know, the rare exception of maybe meeting someone you like.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to even allow it with this attitude, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think at this point she's using the apps for...
This is an experiment.
An experiment.
And that is, boy, that's, I don't know, a lot of time, a lot of effort.
Meanwhile, a Congolese man got married to triplets. Does that seem like the best idea? A marriage à trois. Congolese man... proving that good things come in threes when he married triplets all on the same day after they all reportedly proposed to him simultaneously. This guy's name is Aframax English, and he says, it seems like I was dreaming. It's a marital hat trick set in motion after the husband-to-be met one of the triplets, Natalie, and fell head over heels with her. Things took a turn, though, when he visited his soulmate, and she introduced him to her twin sisters, Nadezhda and Natasha, who became equally smitten with their sister's new boyfriend. They then popped the big question, which surprised him so much he says he almost fainted.
Please come to the Congo.
One of the brides saying here, when we told him he had to marry all of us, he was shocked. But because he'd already fallen in love with all of us, nothing could stop our plans since we were also in love with him. He was obliged to marry all of them because they are triplets. I don't think that's...
Where do you find a card for something like that? I've been here all day here at the Hallmark store, and I can't find anything.
Do you have anything for...
For a guy who's marrying triplets in the Congo?
Okay, what the...
He says his parents don't understand what he's doing.
I get that.
Uh-huh. They wouldn't show up for the ceremony. Yeah, I wouldn't either. That's a, no. That's, hippity-hoppity. This is not my property. On the flip side of the coin, marrying the same man didn't seem weird to the three gals who've been sharing everything since childhood. In fact, the brides-to-be reportedly couldn't contain their jubilation over the arrangement, one of them gushing, quote, "Today we're very happy, as you can see, because our dreams came true without being separated by husbands. God heard our prayers." He says he's glad that he abandoned his family to wed the triplets, quote, "You have to lose something in order to gain another. In addition, one has their preferences and their own way of doing things. So I'm happy to marry the triplets, no matter what the others think. But all I can say is, love has no limits." Wow. That's a thing. Were their parents okay with this? I can't imagine their parents were okay with this. That's what they wanted.
You take one vacation, you take the honeymoon.
Yeah.
Look at the flight miles, just...
Oh my God.
Right off the bat.
How do you do anniversaries for the rest of your life? Here you go. This is for all of you.
It's a pie.
Good luck, pal.
Cut it up how you want to cut it up.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
And that was Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. Thanks for downloading, subscribing, and leaving a review and being the kind of person that tells others that you enjoy the podcast and maybe they should check it out.
And you just being you.
Yeah.
Although, work on it.
Till we get a chance to do it again. Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop.
East Moline,
yeah, they keeping it hot.
I'm done. Do what you want. Pull the plug.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.